All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world, and happy Friday, everybody. Today is April 17th, 2026. And the story this morning, we got a bad quarter from Netflix, but that is not enough to derail this rip-your-face-off rally that we are seeing in stocks that is currently underway. First, let's talk about Netflix. It wasn't a bad quarter that they reported. I mean, the prior quarter was all right. Revenue was up 16%. No bad numbers from the prior quarter. It was the guidance that the market didn't like. Netflix reported EPS guidance of 78 cents a share. The market was expecting 84. All right, 6 cents light on the guidance. Maybe that would take the stock down a little bit, but it was the announcement that founder and former CEO Reed Hastings is leaving the company, leaving the board of directors to focus on tax evasion. I mean, philanthropy. That probably contributing to the sell-off here. Netflix stock is down big ahead of the opening bell. Now, Netflix stock has had a volatile last couple of months. The stock absolutely tanked last fall as they bid up more and more for Warner Brothers Discovery. They got into that bidding war with Paramount. Eventually, Netflix said, you know what, we're out. They dropped their bid. The stock rallied a little bit earlier this year on that news, now selling off a little bit here. But, you know, Netflix has been raising their prices and adding, putting ads in. It used to be $7 for the Netflix streaming subscription with no ads. Now it's $20 and you have to watch ads too. So they've kind of devalued their own product with these relentless price hikes, and maybe that's starting to take a chunk out of the company. I don't know. I just throw it out there. We saw some good news from Pepsi when they lowered prices. Their business surged. Maybe Netflix might consider that. But, hey, I don't run Netflix. And you know what? The market doesn't seem to care about that sell-off in Netflix this morning. Stocks are up. Oil is lower. We do have some positive developments in the Middle East. There's rumors of a second round of peace talks might be held this weekend. President Trump said some what might be interpreted as encouraging things about the possibility of a deal with Iran. I'm seeing the possibility of a two-week extension being floated to this ceasefire. The Israelis and the Lebanese have agreed to a ceasefire in southern Lebanon yesterday. So there are some positive developments in the Middle East, sending oil prices lower, and stocks are just ripping here. New all-time highs day in and day out. Case in point, the relentless optimism we're seeing in the market. We've got another one we got to talk about today, Mycium. All right, yesterday we talked about Allbirds, the shoe company that's now an AI company. I kid you not, and there's got to be an Al Bundy joke in there somewhere. Now it's Mycium. Mycium is this New Jersey social media shitco. They run two social media platforms that nobody's ever heard of. Well, yesterday they announced that they are going to change their name to Mycium.ai, a stunning development, and they're going to integrate AI in their platforms, and the stock rallied 130%. All right? All you got to do is sneeze, and as long as it sounds like AI, this market will bid up your stock 100%. We're at that phase of the bubble. We've seen this with blockchain. We've seen this with dot-coms. As long as you just say the right things after your business name, doesn't matter if there's any substance at all behind it, people will bid up your shares. This ends in tears every single time. We have seen this, but hey, maybe this time is different. All right. Speaking of maybe this time is different, let's talk about the last bubble, the prior bubble that I warned about, electric vehicles. That was the early days of the channel, 2021. I warned you Kathy Wood was bidding up anything having to do with electric vehicles. I said, guys, the market doesn't want this. People don't want this. The vehicles aren't really as good as they say they are. Some of them are nice, but, you know, for people in most of the country, it doesn't make any sense. Well, Polestar is taking their biggest loss ever. That's a European electric vehicle manufacturer. $2.36 billion they lost last year. And for anybody who's counting or wondering, that is actually more than the entire market cap of the company. That stock is down 93% since it was spun off from Volvo in 2021. You know, the last time the market was just euphoric and bidding way too much for anything and everything they could get their hands on. Things like NFTs, electric vehicles, and I don't know, renewable biodiesel made from orangutan poop. now it's mycm.ai in all birds. You can see these scenarios playing out. It's a little different every time, but underlying story is pretty much the same. Also, we got another one out of Europe. Alstom is a French manufacturer of trains. That company dropped 30% yesterday when they pulled their cash flow forecast. That's the second time since 2023 the company has had to do this. I don't know an awful lot about this company. The train and equipment maker. Supposedly, they paid way too much for another company back in 2021. Go figure. And they've been adjusting their cash flow and taking a lot of losses. Some projects haven't been going well ever since. Today, things got even worse. We've got Brookfield is at risk of defaulting on a $500 million CMBS loan tied to two office towers in the city of Houston. That loan has been flagged for special servicing. That is a $470 million loan for buildings that they were supposed to have defaulted on in 2023, but they got 3 1-year extensions in a row. Extend and pretend. It's been going on for years. The floor is price discovery. Even as this is going on, we've got banks are in the news again this morning selling SRTs tied to CRE. Oh, my God. OMG. That's so many letters. SRT, significant risk transfers, sometimes referred to as synthetic risk transfers. That's when they sell the risk of a loan while actually keeping the loan on their books. Typically, they like to sell them to people like pension funds. And it's the way the banks get the commercial real estate risk off their books and onto the books of pension funds. And look, as we've got office tower after office tower is going delinquent after years of extended pretend, the banks are dumping all this risk into pension funds. If only somebody had been warning us about this for years. And last but not least, we've got an update on the First National Bank of Lindsay, Oklahoma. That's that bank that failed back in 2024. And man, that story, I just couldn't put that story down for years. Nobody cared about this bank when it failed. It's this tiny little bank in flyover country. But when I looked into it, there was so much going on at the bank. It did a couple of videos about it. Well, we have got a new development and another indictment in that bank. Stick around to the end of the show. We've got an update on that one. And it was a very important figure from one of the videos that I talked about that was indicted. Guys, we got a lot to talk about today. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget the like button and the subscribe button. So you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this every single day. The S&P 500 is higher once again, 33 points to the upside, 0.47% optimism about the Middle East. And some guy somewhere in Des Moines said a thing about AI. And so the market is rallying. The Dow is up 379 points or 0.78% higher as well. And the NASDAQ is up another 0.45%, 118 points in the green ahead of the opening bell. Take a look at the daily candles on the NASDAQ chart. Count them, 12 up days in a row, guys. 12 days in a row we've closed higher. I mentioned this yesterday. Even these two red candles here, they were after gaps up in the stock, so those were actually up days. They just closed higher than they opened, but still higher than the prior day's closures. So 12 days in a row, rallying to all-time highs. Will there be a 13th? Well, I guess we'll just have to stick around and find out. The dollar is a little bit weaker this morning, down 20 basis points to 97.98, now 23 points lower. This is off of that optimism in the Middle East. Oil prices heading lower means weaker dollar here because oil is traded in dollars, so there's slightly less demand for dollars as the price of oil falls here. A little bit of less of a cash crunch surrounding this energy crisis. Also, this is kind of an interesting story in Reuters, something for my BRICS guys. I know you're out there. Indian refiners pay for Iran oil in yuan via ICICI Bank. Sources say you better believe that got the attention of the Treasury Department. And, well, they will not be extending that holiday or whatever, the suspension of the sanctions on Iranian and Russian oil for 30 days after the Iranians closed the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. suspended those sanctions, allowing that oil to reach the market. And India paid for their oil from Iran and Russia in yuan, and well, they're going to put the kibosh on that real fast. Wars have been fought over less, but I'm sure my BRICS guys are going to get excited about that one. I don't think the yuan is in our lifetime going to supplant the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. I don't think BRICS is really going to be able to replace the U.S. dollar, at least not anytime soon, not without a bloodbath on every continent of the world. But this is a step in that direction, a baby step in that direction, that's for sure. Looking at the bond market, we've got red in yields. That means bond prices are a little bit higher this morning. The 30-year Treasury, 4.905, that's up down 2.5 basis points. Remember, yields going lower means prices going higher. The 10-year yield, 4.254%, that is down almost 6 basis points. Big move lower in the 10-year. The bond market is taking these prospects for peace talk seriously this morning. The 2-year yield is at 3.744. That's down almost 3.5 basis points. And the 1-month is at 3.666. Yikes, lower by a fraction of a point. Looking over at Bitcoin this morning, Bitcoin is higher by almost $1,000, $76,087 for Bitcoin. Bitcoin has had a heck of a run since the start of April, moving up about $10,000 now over the last 20 days or so. So another good morning for Bitcoin. Looking over at the commodities board, looks like metals are mostly higher this morning. Spot gold is at $48.40. That's higher by about $50. June COMEX gold futures, $48.63, higher by also $50, or 1% higher. Spot silver back above $80.68, higher by $2.25 or 2.88% this morning. May COMEX silver futures, almost $81 here at $80.86. That's up by $2.15 or 2.75%. I like the shiny. Again, guys, gold and silver for now behaving like risk assets because of the weaker dollar and the lower interest rates. That's typically good for precious metals. Although, you know, it's weird to see gold and silver trading in tandem with risk assets. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Copper is lower by 0.15%. Platinum higher by almost 2%. Palladium higher by 1.2%. And crude oil is sharply lower this morning. May WTI futures are at $87.43, lower by $7.30, or 7.77% in the red this morning. Take a look at the oil chart. Yep, big red candle down here, coming up on that 50-day moving average, which is at about $84.50. Oil has been selling off quite a bit these last 2 weeks. Again, optimism that the conflict in the Middle East may be drawing to a conclusion. I don't know what it's going to look like. We'll have to wait and see. Let's hope everybody plays nice in the sandbox at the peace talks. For now, the market is optimistic, as it often is. All right, on to the other news today. Netflix shares tank on lackluster forecast and Hastings steps down. Netflix shares tumbled after the company gave a forecast for the second quarter that fell short of analysts' expectations, underwhelming Wall Street just months after it lost out on a bid for Warner Brothers Discovery. The streaming pioneer also announced that chairman and co-founder Reed Hastings is stepping down after 29 years at the company to pursue philanthropy and personal interests. In the current quarter, Netflix forecast earnings per share of 78 cents. That's less than the 84 cents that was predicted by Wall Street. A little light on the guidance there, not by much. Revenue projections for the second quarter were also tepid. Netflix said revenue would be $12.57 billion for the 3 months ending in June. The market wanted $12.64. That's according to data compiled by Bloomberg. So between Reed Hastings stepping down and the light guidance, Netflix having a rough morning, down 8.9%. It was down more than 10% at $1.98.17 for Netflix. Let's take that in context, though. You can see this is Netflix stock over the last year. They really sold off pretty hard late last year on that bidding war for Warner Brothers Discovery. Then back in the end of February, just before the war broke out, they withdrew their bid, abandoned the plans as Paramount, you could have them. And the stock rallied on that news. It was up sharply. So we've given back a lot of that, basically right back to the price we were at as soon as they announced that they had pulled their bid for Warner Brothers. Meanwhile, we got another one of these yesterday. Good God. Another absurd AI pivot is propelling a new stock higher Thursday. Shares of Mycium jump 130%. And look, CNBC, don't be throwing around words like absurd, like this story's bothering you, CNBC, with your endless pumping and hyping of AI stocks. You created this monster, so now you get to enjoy it. Talking about the absurd AI pivots. This is a mess of your own making, CNBC, you and Bloomberg. Mycium shares more than doubled on Thursday, after the social media platform provider became the latest company to unexpectedly refocus efforts on artificial intelligence. The penny stock surged around 130% to above $3 a share. Mycium, which surpasses the $5 mark at one point in the trading day, climbed to its highest levels in more than a year and recorded its best day since early 2025. The New Jersey-based company announced Wednesday that it would change its name to Mycium.ai amid a concentration on integrating AI into its platforms like Picture Party and DatChat. What? Picture Party and DatChat? All right, somebody out there, has anybody in the Melon Patch ever heard of either of these platforms, DatChat or Picture Party? Who the hell is this company? Oh, but they said AI, 130% rally in the stock. Mycium will use AI agents to manage personal media in a way that adapts to users' preferences while also maintaining privacy, the company said. Our new name, Mycium.ai, identifies our core AI-based technology that secures a multi-tiered social media ecosystem, said Mycium CEO Darren Myman at a Wednesday statement. This is like that commercial that I've seen a couple of times. The guy's in the boardroom and he's just saying AI, 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 AI. And everybody in the room's like, oh, this is really good. Yep, just put AI in your name and your stock rallies 130%. You think I'm kidding? There it is, guys. Yesterday, up 129%. It's up another 19% this morning. DatChat and Picture Party. Okay. All right, have fun with that one, just like Allbirds. And check this out, just for some context of this bubble. Shout out to Nothing to See Here, Mr. Tyler Hart, who sent me this one this morning. I've seen this image float around a couple of places. The hyperscalers have already outspent the most famous U.S. mega projects. Let's make this picture a little bigger. I don't know how well you can see this. But here in red, this is the chart of spending on data center CapEx boom. Now, this is supposedly adjusting for inflation. Now, let's keep in mind that inflation has historically been understated. So when you adjust for inflation, it's probably understating the spend on some of these prior projects, all right? Like U.S. railroads in the 1800s, they spent inflation adjusted $550 billion. It probably would be higher if you use the true inflation statistics. But you can see here, in just 6 years, they have spent $930 billion. That's through the end of 2025 on CapEx for AI data centers. That doesn't even count. They show you the dotted line here, what's planned for 2026, although there's a lot of articles that say half of this is never going to happen because the companies don't have the money or they're going to delay the projects. But you can still see the trajectory here exceeds that of the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe after World War II, the Apollo program to put a man on the moon, the Manhattan Project, the F-35, the biggest boondoggle in military defense procurement history, the interstate highway system following the end of World War II, the International Space Station, and the railroads. By the way, it's not shown on here, probably because they don't want to compare it to the dot-com bubble. But we spent about $100 billion laying fiber optic cable from 1996 to 2000 during the dot-com bubble. If you adjust that for inflation, that's about $200 billion. So this even several X's, the inflation-adjusted spend on dot-com fiber optic cable that there was no use for. And again, this is before the industry has seen its first penny of profit. Every single data center in the country running AI workloads loses money. The only people making money are the people selling the hardware into the data centers. The data center operators and the companies making the AIs are all losing money. There is no profitable business underlying this whole thing. It is a skyscraper built on quicksand. And well, you know what direction those move in. But wow, this was a pretty powerful chart. So thank you again to Finn Morehouse, who posted this one, and Nothing to See Here, who tagged me on it. Now that other bubble, the previous one, Polestar falls to biggest ever loss as EV maker hit by slowdown. Who could have seen this one coming? I did. I warned about this years ago. Polestar Automotive Holding reported its biggest ever annual loss as the electric vehicle maker grapples with tepid demand in U.S. tariffs. The Swedish company's net loss widened to $2.36 billion in 2025, more than the market cap of the whole company. That is after a loss of 2.05 in 2024. So don't worry, the losses are getting bigger. according to the statement on Friday, marking its largest annual deficit since being spun out of Volvo in 2022 and listing on the NASDAQ. A total of $1.05 billion was due to write-downs, mostly on models. CEO Michael Lohscheller said Polestar expects things to become even tougher given the geopolitical backdrop, i.e. tariffs and the EV bubble and competition from China. Polestar is pressing ahead with a turnaround involving more models and cost cuts helped by multiple cash injections from parent Zhejiang Geely Holding. It's been forced to take impairment charges on models such as the Polestar 3 due to higher duties on parts and broader EV price pressures. The company has lost most of its market value since the listing. The wider loss last year came even as revenue jumped 50% to $3.06 billion, with more than 60,000 cars sold as it rolled out new models and thanks to robust demand in countries like the UK. And again, I don't care about revenue if you're losing money. This is something the AI companies haven't figured out. Oh, look at our revenue. Look at our revenue. Look at all the money people are giving us. Yeah, but you're spending more. So you're losing money. There's no making up for that in volume. Look at this stock. Lost 2.5% yesterday on its biggest loss ever. And I guess when you've already lost 93% of your value since going public, the biggest loss in history doesn't seem so bad. But the market cap of this company, $1.86 billion. That's quoted in U.S. dollars. So they lost more money than the value of the company last year. That's the EV bubble for you. Meanwhile, we got Alstom sheds nearly a third of its value after a second cash warning in 3 years. This is a train maker now. Train maker's losing a bunch of money. Alstom shares slumped around 30% on Friday after the French train maker pulled its three-year cash flow forecast the night before. Its second major cash warning since late 2023. The French rail manufacturer, which also reported preliminary results for its fiscal 25 and 26, withdrew a cumulative free cash flow target of 1.5 billion euros or $1.8 billion for the 3 years until the end of the current 2026 and 2027 financial year. This is the second time in 3 years they've pulled their forecast on cash flow worries. The stock lost 30% on this news. It's down 36.5% year to date. Over the last 5 years, it's lost 65% here back in 2023. That big red candle, that's the last time they pulled their cash forecast. Not sure what's going on at this company. They overpaid for the Bombardier rail unit a couple of years ago. There were some disappointing projects since then. It appears that continues to make things worse. No mentions of fuel prices or anything like that in this article, but I'm sure that's not helping things. All right, shifting over to commercial real estate. We've got another case of extend and pretend and another case of what will soon probably be default. Brookfield's Houston office towers, $470 million CMBS loan flagged for special servicing. The owner reportedly spent $150 million on renovations at the property in the last decade. The nearly $500 million loan tied to two downtown Houston office towers was flagged for special servicing. New York-based Brookfield Properties is at risk of defaulting on the $470 million commercial mortgage-backed securities loan for 1 and 3 Allen Center, Morningstar Credit reported. Barclays Capital Real Estate and City Real Estate Funding originated the loan used to refinance the property in 2021. It was set to mature in April of 2023, but Brookfield secured 3 one-year extensions, pushing the maturity date to April 9th. All right, so there's a lot to unpack here. This building was refinanced in 2021 when everybody was overpaying too much for everything. All that COVID stimmy cash was flying around. Interest rates were low. No problem. Here's $500 million for a loan on these buildings that don't cash flow because nobody's working in the offices, but okay, never mind that. They extended the loan three times. 3 one-year extensions. They were supposed to pay this back in April of 2023. Still haven't done that. Now it's going to special servicing, which is just one step before default. They're going to end up handing the keys back to the lender. In this case, the lender is People's Pensions and Retirement Plans because these loans were sold to a commercial mortgage-backed securities, which means grandma's retirement will be taking the loss here. Now, we've seen a lot of stories like this. Even as we get another one like this, BNP Paribas plans SRT linked to commercial real estate loans. All right, there's a lot going on here. BNP Paribas, it's a European bank. SRT, synthetic risk transfer. Basically, when some investor, usually a pension fund, takes a large amount of cash and deposits it with a bank. All right, and that cash is basically held in escrow by the bank. where if the commercial real estate loans go bad, the investor would lose that cash. In exchange for taking on that risk, the bank makes regular payments to that investor, 10%, 11%, whatever it is. It functions a lot like a bond, but the bank still owns the loan. The bank still owns the underlying loan on the commercial real estate property. So it's a way for the bank to get the risk off their books, kind of freeing up capital to make more loans. And it's just one of these new acronyms that they've created in order to park the risk in grandma's pension fund. They're selling these things. I mean, the European banks in particular have been selling these SRTs tied to commercial real estate like crazy over the last few months. I mean, this is a 1 billion euro loan, about $1.3 billion. And they're mentioning here Banco Santander and Commerce Bank are among lenders also working on SRTs linked to commercial real estate. NatWest Group completed an SRT tied to 3.5 billion pounds of commercial real estate loans earlier this year. The SRT market is set for robust growth over the coming 2 years. I mean, they're selling these things like crazy to people who are investing other people's money, even as, see, earlier story, these buildings continue to be defaulted on. And we've seen stories about German pension funds getting wiped out by commercial real estate loans. I'm telling you, man, this avoidance of price discovery, they're going to park all this crap on the pensions and the retirement plans. Then they'll allow price discovery, and then they won't be the ones who take the losses. You can see it happening. They're doing it with private equity and private credit. They're doing it with commercial real estate. They're doing it with data center debt. It's happening all over Wall Street. Just trying to warn people. All right, last one of the day, an update on the First National Bank of Lindsay, Oklahoma, that story that I just could not put down last year. Borrower at failed Oklahoma bank charged with bank fraud and money laundering. This was on April 8th, about a week ago. We've got the second indictment in this bank failure. A federal grand jury on Wednesday in the District of Oklahoma returned an indictment against Sean Christian of Lindsay, Oklahoma, with conspiracy to commit bank fraud and money laundering in relation to the now-defunct First National Bank of Lindsay. According to court documents, Christian is alleged to have conspired with FNBL's former president and CEO, Danny Seibel, to defraud First National Bank of Lindsay. The indictment alleges that, among other things, Christian and Seibel submitted false information in connection with multiple loans in 2021. Seibel is further alleged to have manipulated bank records related to Christian's accounts to conceal overdrafts and past due balances, allowing additional funds to be extended to Christian. The alleged scheme continued until shortly before FNBL's failure in October of 2024. The indictment also alleges that Christian laundered proceeds from the fraud through various personal expenditures. They're trying to say it was Sean Christian's degenerate gambling habit is where like almost $60 million went missing. Again, there's still a lot more to this story than they're telling us. Christian is charged with one count of conspiracy to commit bank fraud, four counts of bank fraud, three counts of money laundering. If convicted, Christian faces a maximum penalty for each count of conspiracy to commit bank fraud of about 30 years for those, and a maximum penalty for each money laundering count of 10 years. In other words, this guy should spend the rest of his life in prison. Remember, guys, this is the bank where the vice president committed suicide right before the bank failed. There's obviously a lot more going on here. The bank CEO was indicted last year. Now this is the second indictment. I did a really long video on this one back in December. This one took a lot of work. Sean Christian was called out in that video. I suspected that he was borrower number two that was described in Danny Seibel's indictment. Right here, there's Danny Seibel, the bank CEO, major scumbag. And also, Sean Christian was a very important link in the chain that, believe it or not, takes you to this guy, the Tiger King. I kid you not. That was a nutty story. Well, apparently I was right about that one. Sean Christian was borrower number two. That is just a mess. Small town corruption in flyover country. It'll make you sick how many people they've hurt. Just a trail of bodies and destroyed lives behind these people. So Sean Christian, if found guilty, deserves to spend the rest of his life in prison. Let's hope they don't keep treating white-collar crime with the kid gloves like they always do. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Hey, it's Friday. That means at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, it's our weekly get-together for a Q&A on Zoom with my friends from Patreon, YouTube members, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links are down below to that should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.